Hey there, coffee lovers. Do you want to make your morning cup of Joe something special? Let's talk about Joe Bean Coffee, a gem right here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador. I've been a longtime fan of Joe Bean. Kathy, Dina, and the whole team are passionate about their coffee and this city, and it comes through in every cup of Joe Bean Coffee that I brew at home. Joe Bean has been a part of Rochester for years, over a decade, building lasting community and a sense of belonging for everyone who loves coffee. Next time you need beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. Even better, subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and you'll receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule and never be without your favorite coffee. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care.
Welcome to Dialed In. I'm Wade Reed.
I'm Aaron Pascucci.
And welcome to our grab bag episode. We have thoughts on coffee.
Grab bag.
I was going to say, you forgot to introduce Chris. Come on, Wade. What, are you tired?
I am a little sleep deprived.
Grab bag.
And our producer, Chris Lindstrom.
Grab bag.
who is just for the rest of the evening going to say the words grab bag in different voices.
Grab bag.
Grab bag.
That's the Calgary coming out.
Grab bag.
So, yeah, tonight we have coffee thoughts. Aaron was like, I have some prompts. I'm like, yeah, let's go for it. We were going to talk about AI and coffee, which we could probably share a couple of thoughts.
I do want to get to that a little bit. I've got a couple other things that have been sitting in the back of my brain.
Cool. Start with AI. Let's go there
I got a short one first. Okay.
Okay. So
I have a friend that hit me up recently. He said, hey, you do coffee. I said, kind of, yes. As to all my friends who are like, no, you do coffee. Anyway, he said, give you some context. He went sober a few years ago. He's on a pretty tight budget. And when we hang out, a lot of times he like has to plan. So he's like, okay, I can go out tonight and we can do X, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
So he reached out and he said, I'm giving up this other thing in my life so I have some extra money. He goes, I really want coffee to be, like a luxury for me on the weekends. I want to sit and enjoy it. I was like, perfect. So he basically was like, what should I get for a pour over? Like, what? He has nothing.
I love the fact that it's formulated as a little luxury too, because it can be a daily routine, but it can also be that little luxury that just makes your life that little bit better every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I ran down the list. I was like, hey, do you have a scale? Do you have, a kettle? Like, what do you have? And he's like, I have nothing. I know nothing about this other than I want to do pour over. So, I have the things that I would recommend to him, but one of the things that was running through my head was there's like 9,000 pour over drippers out there these days. Mm-hmm. And, I've got a Hario V60 that I've had for 20 years, maybe at this point, if I'm thinking about
getting close. Yeah.
And so, I was curious what your thoughts were. The biggest thing I've seen is people seem to be loving the Hario Switch a lot as one of the newer things out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys have seen anything else out there, if you're happy with what you have had, or like, is it tried and true and we're good? Or like, is it, I don't want to buy another pour over dripper? Or like, where have your thoughts been there? Have you thought about it?
I mean, I know I've been thinking about it recently, mostly because like I've considered buying a higher end like drip machine for the first time.
Yeah.
But I think I love the idea of the switch or some sort of full immersion, thing, because it's the least temperamental. It's the thing closest to a French press, pour and wait and go.
Yeah.
Which is, you're going to get a good amount of consistency. You're going to have, when it comes to most finicky, like Hario's most finicky because it cares most about being fine. It's open bottom. like everything, all the little things matter a little bit more. But
absolutely,
with something like a Switch or other full immersion, it does allow that, like, you don't have to be as technically proficient or care as much as we might care to do something that is still going to be a delicious cup.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you do this, you know, small investment of a good grinder, you know, your, why am I forgetting? You know, the
different Baratza the options standard. Are all great. Yeah. Like the, I have a Virtuoso and I love it, but the, Encore is fine.
Yeah.
I love the, I mean, I love the SETI, and if I had an espresso machine, the SETI.
What's the one right above the Virtuoso?
I can't think of it. But it's, yeah, no, there are so many good options.
But those are like such an astonishing value, and like as a step up from whatever you currently have, it's like such an astonishing jump in consistency and quality.
Sure.
For the price, like it's really hard to beat.
Oh yeah, I still have my Encore. I just realized that I was, you know, in this context, lucky enough that I have enough brewing devices and coffee devices that I have a full setup at school now. And so
without sacrificing anything at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Like
just take the extra stuff. Yeah.
I've got an Encore sitting on my desk next to, you know, whatever pour over method I've got. And I think my Hario is sitting at school because I'm like, I'm not going to pour a whole pot here.
Yeah. So I think like it depends a lot on what you want to get out of it.
Okay.
If you want to, I think a Hario is a great way to really get into coffee because it leaves nothing behind. If you, a well-executed Hario brings out acidity, it brings out sweetness and doesn't sacrifice body a whole lot. Whereas Chemex, because the filter's so thick,
sure.
Right? It like really flattens out the body, brings out mostly the acidity. And then French press, kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, great body, tons of oils left in the brew, and just you don't get it much of the acidity at all. You get a lot of the sweetness. So it boils down to like what you're looking for. Hario's a great kind of everything. I do love immersion drippers. My personal favorite immersion dripper is the Bonavita immersion dripper, and it's just very much a Clever clone.
Yeah.
Like they just took the concept of the Clever. They're like, what if it was ceramic and what if the valve operated
right,
you know, a little bit differently? I'm a huge fan of those. I used those at Fifth Frame, and I just think like they bring out, you know, same filter as the Clever. Except that instead of plastic, you've got ceramic, which I think holds the heat a little better. So I like that a little bit better. I am also gonna name drop here the I think it's called the Compass.
Ooh. A new one.
Adjustable flow rate brewer. So
I've seen some of those.
Yeah, it's a Kalita. So let's give the Kalita its due. What's great about a Kalita is you're just gonna get the sweetness, whatever sweetness a coffee has. Like, it's going to come out in the Kalita.
It's also durable as all hell.
Yeah, yeah. You get one of those steel ones. Yeah, yeah. And some of the, like, copper ones are really pretty, even though they're more expensive. Like, I'm a big fan of Kalita for that purpose. Just, like, if you like the sweetness and you want to understand the sweetness of whatever coffee you're buying, like...
Is it just the open bottom there that does that? Because, like, seriously, what's the big difference between that and, like, my V60 there?
The quality of the filter and the flat bottom, yeah.
Okay.
And those three holes and the flow rate that it achieves. And that's what's interesting
about... It's so much slower, yeah.
Yeah. And that's what's interesting about the Compass is you can cover those holes, so you could be dripping through one hole. I think it's called the Compass. I bet I'm going to find out it's called something...
The other thing is the Hario is way more dependent on very consistent grinding.
Exactly.
While the Kalita is a little more forgiving. Entry specialty grinder,
yeah,
that it's going to be a little slower regardless, and it does flatten out probably the heights of what you can potentially get to.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also, like, your range of doing something worse is way lower.
Yeah, Hario's higher floor, lower ceiling, or higher ceiling, lower floor.
Yeah,
whereas the Kalita, less range, but like I think you get something consistently good, maybe a little more often. I'm actually gonna say Yama has some amazing single cup stuff that just doesn't get the credit it deserves. I love the Silverton. Again, it's a flow rate control thing. Maybe I'm just a control freak. The Silverton with its adjustable valve. I actually brewed one last week that I was like, I forgot what I can do with this thing. I love the Silverton. You can bring out again like a much more fully formed cup. And by adjusting flow rate and kind of playing with that, you can get, if the acidity is what's interesting, you can lean into it. If the sweetness is what's interesting, lean into it. And if you don't want to mess with it that day, guess what? Turn that valve off, turn it into a full immersion dripper. It's great. I've even made cold brew with the thing. I love the Silverton. Yeah. One more from Yama, because I think it doesn't get enough credit. They made a pour over. Oh, what is it? It looks just like a Hario, but it doesn't have the ridges. Just sits on top of the cup. Same idea. I thought it never got the love it deserved. It's about the size of a 0.2 Hario. And what it does is it takes everything from Hario that's good, except those ridges, which are what increase agitation and make for the over-extraction of a Hario. So I think it's a little bit Hario for dummies. Like, it is this Yama dripper.
Is it the Yama glass 4-cup dripper?
That, I mean, is that literally what it's called?
That's what I'm finding.
The Yama glass 4-cup
dripper.
There's
some ridges in it, but it looks like ice.
Yeah, but they're like, they're not vertical. They're horizontal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have loved that thing. I have no idea where mine went, but I have loved that thing. I've used it. Like, again, it's cool for waking up in the morning, you're tired, and you probably can't achieve perfect Hario technique. So this thing doesn't require quite as much. Now, again, Hario has the highest ceiling. Like, you're gonna get the most out of your Hario. Yeah. But, or V60 specifically. And but with this thing, like, I think you're gonna achieve, you know, 80 to 90% of that with less technique. So those are my insights.
Yeah. This is making me think that my early coffee educators were leading me astray, dumping me into the deep end.
Well, I think there was also a moment where that was the thing that everybody talked about. While I think the variety is way bigger now. And I think the other thing is, we're talking about, you know, equipment. So yes, this is one choice. It's great to have a scale. You do not need to buy a coffee-specific scale for your first outing.
No.
If you have a kitchen scale that goes down to 1 gram, that is wildly sufficient for what you're doing. You do not need to buy a coffee-specific scale. If you have a 1 gram, $20 kitchen scale, mm-hmm. that would be great. And you don't need a temperature-controlled kettle to start. You can have a kettle that boils.
Yep.
Hario has a
gooseneck kettle that's like $60 and awesome.
Right. If you can buy one with a smaller pour neck, that's great for pour over, especially to start learning how to do it.
Yep.
If you're using one of these fuller immersion ones, you don't even need that.
No, you don't.
Nope.
So you can really lean down on the extra equipment if you make a couple choices. If you want to play with technique, get a kettle with a little pour nozzle. There's plenty that just have one lever. You hit the button, it boils it. And then you pour the coffee, the water, and that is perfectly sufficient.
Can we talk scales for a second?
Yeah.
The point that you don't need a good scale is so 100% valid. Do you guys know who Nick Cho is?
Yeah.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Your Korean dad on mm-hmm. TikTok. So the time I met Nick Cho was he was judging a Brewers Cup competition that I was involved in, that I was competing. It was actually the very first time I had ever competed. And I must have looked like a total nervous wreck. Oh yeah, Nick Cho, Wrecking Ball Coffee too. Like, that's kind of what he's most famous for in the coffee industry. Murky in DC before that. Anyway, I must have looked like a nervous wreck, because Nick Cho comes over to me and he's like complimenting my Taylor scales. Now, if you know Taylor, that's the brand. That's one of the brands that you buy at like Target. Like these,
yeah.
That was what he felt comfortable saying. Like, oh yeah, yeah, those are great scales. You know, like, to ease my nerves, but also because like, the scale can be whatever, you know, like,
it's a scale.
It's a value, you know, and those Taylor scales, that's what we used to use at Joe Bean. Like, Joe Bean, when it first moved into the city from Webster, that's what we were using.
$15, yeah. $20.
Sincerely, I'm looking at a $14.99 Taylor scale.
Target. It's great for your kitchen use. If you don't have a kitchen scale, it's just a great thing to have. It makes you a better baker. It makes you a better.
Oh, yeah.
Like, measuring things by grams is hugely valuable in the kitchen. Have a kitchen scale. If you want a nicer one, buy a nicer one.
Yeah,
absolutely. They look nicer, sure. If it weighs things and it's relatively consistent, it does the job. Who cares? It's still a scale.
And these Taylor scales, you can get custom. Like, they've got different colorways. Like, dude, my Hario one's been black for like 30 years.
Yeah, yep. I have the silver Hario one. So yeah.
My first scale was at Ritual. They had like a custom Ritual scale. If you guys ever... I'm gonna get in trouble here. You ever buy weed from a guy in the street and they pull out their little scale? It's got
a little push thing. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
That's what they were.
Oh, all right. All right. Okay. Yep. Repurposed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just for espresso. Yep.
And I walked in and it was like, are you guys really selling coffee here? Or what's, is this a smoke shop?
What did I just discover?
We are on Hate Street. So
Fair enough.
Just two more shout outs. AeroPress. AeroPress, super simple. Love
absolutely.
It. You can't always, again, get the perfect flavor balance, but consistent. And the hoop. I still
that
love the hoop.
That's what I was going to say.
It's way too soft for most people's taste. If you're just getting into coffee, maybe it's like too subtle, but I love the hoop. I think it's great.
It's easy. I'm not sold on it.
This is our Christmas gift guide officially.
Yes.
So we just
it totally is.
The Christmas gift guide. We should we got to contact all these brands before see who's going to send us something for this.
But I do love that we did go in different directions and that this was we're giving real actionable things for somebody who's new.
Absolutely.
There are so many different ways to tackle this that it's can be overwhelming. Pick a direction, go down it. Don't invest tons of money. You'll do that later. If you really into this, you're going to invest lots of money into it.
Over time.
Right. But you can do something that is really good for a reasonable dollar to make your coffee experience that much better.
And I think what's happened to most of us is we find the thing we like, we lock in, we do it for a few months. Someone else is like, oh, I do this. We try it. We're like, we love that. We lock in, you know, and then we end up with 10 of these things.
For $200, you can have a setup that is going to make really good coffee.
Well, and I'm going to go cheaper than this. So my first setup was, I had a Hario scale, which was $60, I think. That was probably the most expensive thing I had. Then I had the Hario Gooseneck, which was another $30. But I just looked up, the mini mill is a $20 hand grinder.
Sure.
Yeah,
it'll be fine.
Absolutely.
So you get the mini mill, you get a $20 Yama glass dripper, some filters. You're in at a decent brewing setup for under $100.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can learn so much, and it's a great intro. And then when you want to try something else, it's a step and not even my mid-range setup is, would be $600-$700.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, you don't need to do that to have a very good coffee experience.
Absolutely.
So I love that. That's a great one to start
with. That's a really good place to start.
I'm pretty sure the only reason I got to upgrade my grinder is because my wife was tired of waking up in the morning.
She needs something quiet.
We get quieter.
All right.
I went from the Encore to the Fellow, and I thought
you were waking her up to grind the coffee in the morning by hand. Wife, wake
Babe,
up, grind
up,
the coffee.
Up, go
this
grind
the
coffee.
Deal. I will brew it if you grind it.
This would be a very different podcast if that was the case.
Oh my.
Oh gosh. But yeah. So Zach Forrester, if you're listening to this, then there's your guy, dude, from the local pros.
He better be.
For the coffee lover in your life.
He knows we do it, so
I'll
have to now stick it to him to see if he's actually downloading this. Just let's keep us on the light note and then we'll dive into AI, I think.
Yeah,
grab,
or not. I'm
grab bag.
So tired.
I was
grab bagging.
What do you think was on my, I'll give you a hint. It was Starbucks oriented. What do you think it was on my clickbait when I opened up my internet today?
So tired of
Ooh,
Starbucks.
Ooh, today. Red cups. Red cups are back.
Ooh, you're very close.
Ooh.
Not red cups.
It's
too
the,
early for red cups.
It's the barista. Starbucks has a bear. I can text this to you.
Is this like a plush?
It's stop no, it. It's a cup.
Yeah.
Starbucks new barista cup is causing a stir and is being listed on eBay $600.
let's get rid of this company. I don't need this company anymore.
It's cute.
So, getting tired of it.
I like it.
Limited edition gem mint 10.
So this ties into the other thing that I've been mulling around. I've been fascinated with Starbucks recently, not because they're coffee, but because of what is going on with them just all over the place business wise. Ever since they got bought out by their new CEO, they didn't get bought out. Ever since the new CEO took over, the automated shops and all of this stuff, it's been really curious for me to just follow along and see what they're doing there. And the thought I have is Starbucks really a coffee company? I know we've kind of tread on this a little bit, but it seems with a lot of the advertising and stuff now that I don't know what they are.
VC. they're just
yeah,
they're a corporation. Yeah. Like that, I think that's
shareholder value.
I think it's
capitalism in liquid form.
It's just whatever form a corporation is yeah. a corporation, and it doesn't matter what their topic is. Once you exceed a certain size, you are only shareholder value, and every decision, I think this stands for many things. I will get on my very light soapbox here. If you look at any corporation that is listed or is funded by VC pre-listing, they all operate the same way, right? There's a standard structure for how all these things operate. And once you are public, there is now a VC mandate of rapid expansion and growth, cutting costs as much as possible. And from a pre-listing, you know, be pre-public corporations that are VC funded is maximum growth at all costs, and making money is secondary until a certain point. If you use that as your framework of how to understand how these things work, they are the same. No one is different. They're all trying to maximize extraction by boo.
Yeah, I was just gonna say hit the board.
Stop whining.
Is like they're trying to maximize how much they can take from their workers, how little they can pay them, how much they can, you know, reduce logistics by any means possible while still maintaining a veneer of what they used to be. Every corporation operates the same. This is no different.
Sure.
Is that, yes, their venue is coffee, but the venue does not define what they are. They are an extraction company. They're a value extraction company like every large corporation is, and that's all they are.
Absolutely.
So a couple quick updates. The union is at a standstill.
If no you surprise. Been
following that. Because I was curious, I was reading the berries, and I was like, wait, they were unionizing and stuff. So there is going to be a potential strike prior to Red Cup Day.
Yeah, they voted on it.
Well, that would be the most impactful time to do it.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of union protections have started to be peeled away.
Yeah, we're in a bad place for unions for sure.
Because I think, you know, in this case, that would be probably a net benefit, but the likelihood of something succeeding unfortunately goes down when protections go down.
Right.
But also, did everyone see that the union sent a letter to the Olympic Committee?
No.
Starbucks is the official coffee sponsor of the Olympics. And the union sent a letter to the IOC, like, you got to drop them because of all their abuses. So
sure.
I would love that. That would be amazing.
That would be fascinating. Yeah. I would say surprising. I mean,
well, the IOC is as corrupt as anything else.
Well, I was going to say, but they're maybe less so than like FIFA, but like not.
But they're taking notes.
But not
they're
many.
They're taking notes from FIFA.
Take the fall.
Not many are just like.
It's hard to be that corrupt and that brazen about it for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. A couple quick updates that I thought were interesting, because this is what I saw. I was at the gym working out, and of course they have Fox News on, and Fox News is talking about Starbucks.
As you do.
Yeah. 60% of the company is being divested in their China withholdings. Starbucks is stepping back to a minority share in China after their initial wave of growth over there.
Oh, I can tell you what's going on there. Somebody offered them a gobsmack amount of money to go in and then buy back shares in their own company. So assuredly, they took a ton of money and then bought back other shares to raise their own valuation.
This is why I'm not a business major.
Yeah. Yep.
Those are the kind of things that happen. So anytime they're doing that, it's either because there's no money being made.
Right.
Or somebody in China threw them some god-awful amount of money to then buy back shares and then raise shareholder value. None of this is done for any reason other than either it didn't sell or they overexpanded and they have to slice back because they're not making the profit they expected.
And is the incentive that that then impacts a market that the person who gave them the money is invested in?
They don't care. So anytime,
I mean, what's the incentive to give them the money then?
Right.
Oh, they're not giving. They're buying. They're okay. Somebody's yeah. buying okay. that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Got they're it. Not giving so
the
it
incentive
away.
Is yeah that they're
so divesting right. often means somebody bought it.
Yeah. Right. Bayou yeah. Bayou Capital. BAYU.
So they probably offered some dollars with a B.
Yeah.
If it's dollars with a B and they can affect
$4 billion.
Yep. And they can affect the stock price by basically then buying back part of their stocks
yeah.
or pushing it back to shareholders. That's all these things ever are. I apologize. My feelings for them have turned into just pure corporate distaste.
Yeah.
No, I mean that was exactly what I was feeling like as I used to have like a jaded view of Starbucks and what they become, right? It's still part of the coffee world, so to speak, right? But the recently as I've been seeing all this stuff come up, it was like, is this really still
no.
you know, anything related to what we, you know, used to know.
No, and I think, and I'll say, like, I mean, my thought is, unless it's something specific, like about how they're influencing the coffee world, like, I don't know, it doesn't interest me just because, like, just their movements are just corporate movements.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
And it's not, just because they exist doesn't mean they matter to coffee, even though they are the dominant force in that in many ways, is that it's just kind of boring because every move is the same. No move is actually trying to change culture.
No.
Anything they say is about shareholder value. They're trying to drive shareholder value. Everything they say is a lie, except for that it's about shareholder value. Anything they say about culture is a lie. Everything they say about those things isn't true, right? These are all fundamental things that corporations do. It doesn't, nothing they say is actually that. It's just trying to add shareholder value. Yeah.
And on top of that, I would say there's a lot of legacy third wave that what you just said applies for now too, because they all have VC money and, you know, all kinds of weird ownership structures like La Colombe being involved with Dr. Pepper for, you know, however many hundreds of millions of dollars right. like that. Like, I think that for a while became kind of the dream of owning an independent coffee entity of some yeah. kind. So like, yeah, that seems to be the way things went.
And there's extremes, right? They're at the extreme because they are so big that their board demands all these things and the investors demand it. There are the smaller versions that are somewhat better, but at that size, it's just like saying, oh, geez, I'm surprised Walmart is taking advantage of all of their workers.
Yeah. Right.
Like, no. This is not a surprise. This is the same thing they do every time.
Agreed.
No. Well, and then I wanted to tie that back to Wade's amazing panel discussion that we had. So our previous thing.
I was not on the panel, for the record.
Facilitated Wade, the panel.
It was at my
is Wade the VC behind the panel?
My warehouse.
he owns a certain percentage of that conversation. Yeah.
the man behind the curtain.
No, one of the things that, you know, we've been talking a lot about culture and coffee culture and pushing the industry and stuff there, but what came up a lot was just about Rochester and being a barista in that culture there, and it made me kind of think with these two things, like, what should we expect going into a coffee job? Let's assume that you're not going into a corporate Starbucks where your expectations are minimum wage and horrible hours and, you know, whatever. But, you know, Mercury Coffee, I met their two new baristas. You know, if I'm going in and looking for a job there, you know, at least ideally, what should we be looking for as, you know, a culture there? What should we be looking for in terms of being compensated realistically?
Well, I think that's also a great opportunity to bring in some people who are starting at new places and let's talk to them. I mean, let's
see. Yeah, you invited them on the show, right? They're coming later. No, I'm just kidding.
No, seriously. Like, I think that would be interesting, especially if they've been either if they've been in multiple places or this is their first, you know, thing in the industry. I think, I mean, I would like to learn that because, like, I've never worked in it.
Yeah.
And, like, other than starting a shop recently, like, you haven't been that in a very long time.
Very long time.
And I think it would be interesting to talk to them.
But you helped hire at AMFM, right?
No.
No? Not at all?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that would be interesting in of itself. Like, we talked to somebody who is trying to get into it or is either new or experienced and see what their feelings are at this point.
Yeah, definitely. I have the perspective of, you know, the number of places I've helped open and now the number of places we're opening as part of AMFM. So coming kind of from a top-down perspective, I know that a recently opened place in Rochester offered a very competitive rate. Sorry, that's my phone. And it's probably my iPad too. And is now asking me, like, how do I bring that down? I'm like, sorry, dude. Like,
you offered it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're there and it's really good. Oh, but you know, with tips, and I'm like, tips are not consistent. Tips are not compensation.
No,
like, you can't rely on that. Like, the week the tips are thin, that barista feels that. You don't. Like,
you can't compensate tips. It's a tip.
Yeah. And you just can't predict anything on it. So I find it fascinating that, yes, I do think compensation for this type of work has gotten better in certain sectors. Rory offers monthly massages to his baristas. That's kind of what fucking awesome. Like, come on. That's so good.
Wait, do you mean like physical massages?
So like as part of their healthcare. So he offers them healthcare. His baristas have the option of signing on for company healthcare. And as part of it, like, monthly massages are a thing because, like, he understands it's a physical job and has requires, like, you know, physical therapy, basically. So
he also has strong, gentle hands.
I was trying to not to make it creepy.
Ugly duck as part of their healthcare plan. Yeah. So like that kind of thing exists. It's not common.
No.
But it exists. And competitive compensation for entry-level work exists. It's still not common enough.
Right.
But, I mean, as far as what you can expect, like why... I think you can expect to work for someone who cares and for that to build your own passion. And that's if fair. You find yourself in a situation where you're working for someone who doesn't care in a small independent coffee shop, run.
Yeah.
Because, like, what is that person doing in coffee? They have no business.
And especially if you're looking at this not just as a job for today.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you are looking to be involved in the coffee industry, you want to learn something. You want to be around people that care like you care. But I think you can say that about many jobs, especially
that's why I say entry level jobs. In general, right? Like competitive entry level
in any industry too. Yeah. Like, I think that's fair. Like, if you want to learn about an industry and you can work that job that has lower compensation, maybe part of the compensation is learning about the industry at the time. That's not fair if you have bills and all the other things, and we all understand that, but you have to be getting something else for that at the time.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that tracks a little bit with food service. I mean, if you are going into, you know, be a chef, you do your staunching at different places to learn from those pros who have done that.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that is not paid.
Yeah. You know? Well, especially at the high end of restaurants, although I will say that the stage system was, you know, also a lot of those places couldn't exist without free labor.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
There's been a number of articles that were written about a lot of those places that basically couldn't have existed without free labor.
Yeah.
I
don't think coffee companies should do that.
No,
personally. I wasn't saying
that is a, you know, was a very prominent thing, especially in the restaurant industry at the very high end of things. And yes, many people made their name on hey, I got to work at this place for a time period. Yep. And yes, that did get them something after. There was value in it. But when the only people who can take advantage of that value, the people that can afford not to be paid appropriately for their work, then obviously that becomes a, you know, a graded system where you have to have a certain amount of money to be able to have access to that.
Yeah. And I want to draw attention to, you know, going, like you said, going back to the panel, Rory, he didn't articulate it this way, but he really did talk specifically about two different routes for baristas that were outside of what we typically think of as like, you become a barista so you can become an owner, right? Rory did talk about, you become a barista so that you can over time grow with a company, gain, you know, become gainfully employed so that when you're ready to launch, you can use your you know, the money you're making to negotiate in a totally different employment venue. And he used the example of someone who said, said to a local college, I can make more money in coffee, so I want more money working for you.
Right.
And then there's the other avenue of like just staying a barista, which people are doing that too. I think it's really rare in our community, but it, you know, I could think of a couple examples, and that being a thing that like a skill that's valued so much, a position that's valued so much by someone that they just stay there.
Right.
So like, I think, you know, three or four different avenues. You should expect to have different avenues available. If you're being told like, you're a barista, you're going to stay at this rate of pay and you're never going to make more, like that cuts off how many of those different avenues, you know, you're going to end up trying to launch into a different field, which I think most baristas over time, you know, over the past however many years of specialty coffee, have been told like, you're going to stay at this rate of pay. This is it. This, you're just a barista, right?
Right. So, like, and that was part of the expectations I was looking at. Like, one of the things that Starbucks got was their 2% increase. I don't think I ever got a 2% increase in any of my entry level jobs that I was there.
Well, and that's a rounding error too.
Yeah, exactly. For them, that doesn't mean much.
Right. For them,
they just got like, that $4
billion. Right. But still, that's a big deal for me, you know, being down there. But I interrupted you there.
No, not at all. I just think that like something that you should expect if you're getting into coffee is that you're in a position where you have those different avenues, and if they're being cut off for you,
you're not in the right coffee position.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you need to go find something else. Like if they're saying like, well, you could try roasting and that was it.
Yep.
Like that's not it. That is like, that's where I ended up. And I'm so glad I found roasting, because I would not be in coffee any longer if I had to have a public facing position. But like, it's not for everyone. And for a while it did feel like barista, roaster, owner. That's the career path, period. Yeah. You know, otherwise you do something else.
I mean, I was surprised that I ended up at Whole Latte Love for when I did.
Yeah.
And that was tech just
skills.
Because I
we
have
need
had...
tech skills. Yeah.
Well, and the crazy thing there is it was my coffee knowledge that got me in there, but it was the back end stuff that I had doing other stuff that secured the job too. So, but there's more stuff being out there for us once we get past that entry level point. So
did we just, I think we've used up, I was, we're, yeah, we've used up our time just,
I was
on
looking for the wrap
couple
up
of those
point
prompts.
There.
Grab bag.
We have successfully grabbed the bag.
And I think we'll touch on, I mean, there's always more time to talk about AI stuff. So we can do that another time. I think it was a good grab bag. It was an interesting discussion. I wasn't expecting to go on a diatribe about
that's great.
Corporations no. and the structure.
I have to keep myself from doing that. So I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did.
I know you do. I saw it on your face. I'm like, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to tease this, because in our beer discussion, though, that when we were talking about AI, gram mass spectrometry came up.
Sure.
And so that is coming in our AI episode, which is going to be exciting.
Awesome. So, let's close out for today. Wade, where should people get
Aporia
Coffee?
Coffee Co. on Instagram, aporiacoffee.com. I have a plug. November 15th, we're dropping more low phase. So we're going to be out at the warehouse, 175 Dewey Ave, just doing some espresso, some drip, looking at different, we might do a Silverton for you if you ask. Dropping a really a really unique Kenyan coffee. So I'm super excited.
Yeah. Thanks for filling the grab bag today, Aaron.
Oh, this was a pleasure. I like talking about this stuff too. So we nerd out and then we got to bring it up a level.
So yeah. So make sure everybody go out and vote for everything in the best of for City Magazine. We have Bossy ROC, one of the podcasts on the network, up for best podcast. We also have a number of people up for best artist, best photographer, Richard Cologne, Quaje. I think Magnus is up for best artist again. I think we have a few others as well. Go vote for the places you love. It does matter.
November is for voting.
November is for voting. And we all want everybody else to be
dialed in.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Hey, you. Look at the camera for a second. I need you to look into my eyes. Get more value for yourself through extracting from labor. This is the only way to make money.